Some very interesting, I think, parallels or similarities and differences, I guess, between the previous presentation and this one. I'm an information systems person. I'm interested in data management primarily. I know very little about biology, but I've started to learn a little bit in participating in this project. Yolanda Wiersma is the biologist on the team. And I'm going to, since 15 minutes is not a lot of time, 10 minutes, sorry. Sorry there, I was just trying to sneak in some extra time. Since 10 minutes is not a lot of time, if I don't get through everything, here's the basic thesis of what we want to say and what we're working on in this project. Data quality or information quality and level of participation in citizen science projects can be increased at the same time. Now, that kind of presumes, there's hidden in there is an idea that there's an inherent trade-off, that if you want to get a lot of people participating in a project to collect information for some scientific purpose, you can expect the quality of the information to be low. If you want to increase quality, you have to put various constraints on participation to ensure that the information that goes into your database is accurate and useful and so on. But our argument here is that you can do both things simultaneously. And I know that some of what the previous talk was about is ways of ensuring information quality as well. In order to do that, we believe you have to relax certain assumptions about the kinds of entities about which you're collecting information. Okay, and I'll come back to that later on. But our basic argument is that there's not an inherent trade-off. How many people here have not heard the term citizen science? No one. Okay, that's great. So I won't talk about what citizen science is, save some time there. I'll talk about the notion of participation in such projects, what the potential implications are for data quality, and I'm going to spend a very little time describing some very preliminary findings of a study we ran over the summer, for which we haven't really done any data analysis yet, so I don't have time to talk about more details. But just to give you a hint that there is a problem, a potential problem, and finally talk about a solution which focuses on managing attributes instead of being exclusively focused on identification. The previous talk, you talked about identifying the species as the objective, for example, in these kinds of projects. Our argument is that is one objective, but it is not necessarily the objective, and we ought to be able to design or implement technology that supports multiple objectives for these kinds of projects. Okay, citizen science, we talked about iSpot. I think I have a reference to it there. The only thing I want to say here is that there are different scales and types of these projects. Anything from passive, which is simply downloading some software onto your computer that, when you're not using the computer, uses the spare cycles and does some analysis of a data set that's downloaded. For example, if you're familiar with SETI and so on. All the way to a very active project, which involves people putting on their boots, going out into the real world, and observing something and reporting back information on it, such as eBird and iSpot, which are well-known examples. What the real enabler here is, and I think the scientific value potentially, is that people are now information producers. They're not just passive consumers of information. The whole notion of crowdsourcing, social computing, and so on, citizen science, are all built around this idea that there's an interaction, that people provide information, and what the exciting thing here is in this domain of research, I think, is how can we harness this potential for maximum benefit for scientific and other purposes. I have an example here that I hope will illustrate the challenge of data quality in such projects. Yolanda, who's the other member of this team here, is a biologist who studies lichens, or her interest is in lichens. This is an actual observation that was uploaded to our site, which is NL Nature, which deals with the natural history of Newfoundland and Labrador, okay, which is where we're from. So someone observed a lichen, uploaded this image. There are also experts who come in and look at these things and try to label them, identify them, and so on. But in this particular case, neither the observer nor the experts knew exactly what this was, something growing on a tree limb there. So what are the options available to you at this point? One option is to say it's an unknown lichen, and if you look down on the list here, you do see that that's one of the options. You can make a guess, and you might be right, you might be wrong. Or, if you think about someone who's participating in a project like this and providing information, if you don't know what something is, you may just say, well, I don't know what it is, I'm not going to report it. Okay, so you abandon data entry. So, in each of these cases, we believe that there's important losses of information that can arise because people don't know what something is. They can't label it correctly. And we saw in the previous presentation a solution or one approach to trying to address that, and I'm going to present a somewhat different approach to refer to it quickly. So there are, I think, some inherent or at least pervasive information quality problems or limitations in these kinds of projects. The basic idea being that ordinary citizens, people who are not scientifically trained, in our keynote this morning was pointed out that there's no mechanism out there to teach people, you know, what species of plants and animals are in their surroundings and so on. That isn't taught anymore. And that project, iSpot, seems to be aimed at an education function. But people generally are not able to provide information that meet the requirements of certain scientific projects. And we believe that at least part of the issue here is a requirement in many of these projects for what we call positive identification. Positive identification in biological sense means what species of organism did you observe. And there are various solutions or attempted solutions to that, training people, better instructions, the use of these identification keys that you talked about and so on, the social networking approach where others come in and say, we believe this is what it is, or some sort of expert judgment where someone comes in and says, oh, this is such and such. We're going to talk about a slightly different approach in a minute, but we would argue that in any case, both experts and novices provide data that has certain deficiencies. And that a lot of the deficiencies deal with the fact that when you label something belonging to a particular category, you're not necessarily and probably not capturing everything that was of interest to the or that was noted by the person who observed something. So we lose information. Just to get an idea, there's actually two purposes to this study I'm going to talk about. But to get an idea of whether or not this is how serious this or what type of problem this is, over the summer we ran an empirical study to look at the impact of categorization and identifying something as belonging to a species is a categorization process, to look at the impact on data quality. And also, another primary interest of ours, which ties into what we plan to do in the future, is examine the role of what's called a basic level of categorization. In psychology, there's been a lot of research done on the notion of what are called basic categories. Now, basic categories are categories that people tend to learn quickly as children. They tend to be very useful and they have very clear distinctions between them. And what we did in this study is we showed participants a series of 24 images of plants and animals, all of which are native to Newfoundland and Labrador. So we had birds, we had mammals, plants, mushrooms and lichens, and marine mammals. The participants in this... How much time do I have left?
You've got about 3 or 4 okay. 4 minutes.
The participants in the study... were not domain experts. They were students from our university. They weren't biology students necessarily, although we did keep track of how much biology background they had. So we showed them 24 of these full-color images on a central projector, and we asked them to describe what they were looking at. There were two conditions. We split the group roughly in half, and one group was said simply to list the features that describe what you were looking at, each for each image. In the second condition, we asked people to say, what is it? And then to describe the features that describe it. I'm only going to be talking a little bit now in the following slides about data that relates to the second condition there, where we ask people to say, what is it, in one or more words, and then describe it. So these slides, I think, provide some evidence that, that often people are not able to classify things at the species level. This is not surprising, okay? But for example, we thought three of the samples in our study were common to Newfoundland, at least birds. American robin, blue jay, and a mallard duck. Okay, if you look on the bar chart there, you see that over half the people, when they asked to say, what is it, referred to it at the basic category level. It's a bird. Or it's a duck. We accept a duck as an alternative basic category. About a third of the people, 34%, were able to say what the correct species was. So the point in this slide is to say that often people do use basic categories to describe what they see. Here's another example of what we call, referred to these as uncommon birds. They're not as well, you know, well known. And here you see nobody gave a correct species ID. And 83% of the people referred to it as a bird when they were asked to say what it is. I'll just quickly go here. It's one I want to show you. Plants, okay? The basic category for this series of images was flower. And 81% of the people were able to say it was a flower, but nobody got the species correct. And in fact, some people tried to classify it at the species level, were wrong. And the last one I want to show you is this one. For lichens and fungi, over a third of the respondents described it incorrectly at the basic category level, for example, saying it was moss, grass, or leaf. Nobody got, as you heard, there were a few actually that got the species right because for some reason a lot of the people knew what old man's beard was. But if you look on the last column there, quarter of the people, respondents, just gave up, said, I don't know. They wrote, I don't know, or some equivalent when they're asked to say what it was. So people are often unable to describe information to the degree that might be desired by scientists. The requirement of positive identification can often lead to poor data quality, which means guessing incorrectly, or abandonment, which means not providing the information. And to get to the final punchline, we believe the solution may lie in attribute-based data collection and management. The notion of basic categories that I alluded to ties into that because attributes, in describing any kinds of plants or animals, there could be thousands of attributes that you might select from. So how do you manage that? And I'm interested in the database side, and I don't know if some of you might know something about databases, but traditionally the most common type of databases used to store information are what are called relational databases. That's where you predetermine a set of tables in advance, and the tables are the categories, and they define the attributes that you're going to collect information about. We're proposing something based on what's called the instance-based data model, and this example here, I think, just illustrates it. You see something, rather than forcing you to either say this is a blue-footed booby or just give up, you can say I saw something that had a long beak, white breast, black feet, black wings, etc., and we can record these attributes. Now, sometimes these attributes will be sufficient to classify something at the species level. Other times they won't, or they may lead to generating questions that say, well, given these attributes, maybe we need to ask an additional question to really refine that and get to the species level. So anyway, what we're looking at is a project that implements this and really looks at its effect on information quality. That's it.
Thanks very much indeed.